fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and happy Easter to you. Christ is risen. It's a great time of the year, friends, to be able to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church has led us through this season of Lent. We went through Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Triduum, the crucifixion of our Lord, and we know it all leads to this, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, this is the essence, the centerpiece of Christianity. As St. Augustine said, Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because in the resurrection, the new humanity has begun. St. Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that in Adam all die. In this one man, Adam, sin entered the world and all died. But in this new man, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, eternal life was born in him as he passed from death to life. And now he's a life-giving spirit. Humanity, friends, has a future. And this is a day for the church to rejoice, but to rejoice not only for what's happened to us and what God has done, but to rejoice that God has provided a way of salvation for the whole world, for all those who are willing to come to Jesus, to say yes to him, to repent from their sins, to be baptized, and enter into this free gift of new life in him. Only in Jesus Christ, and we'll hear this testimony as we go through the week, the church gives us readings each day from the Acts of the Apostles, the testimony of Peter. And as they go forward to proclaim the kerygma, that is the basic core proclamation, the witness of the apostles, and the germ cell upon which the whole church was built. I'd encourage you, if you have time, really to try to make time this week, to just take the first reading that the church gives us. Today it's Acts chapter 2, verses 14, and then 22 through 33, and meditate on the proclamation that Peter is making. This is the essence of what the church wants to communicate to the whole world. This is God's act of salvation and God's offer of salvation to all those who don't know him. So let's start with Acts 2. This is really the Pentecost. The church takes us right to that point. Remember now, of course, Jesus rises from the dead, and 50 days later, he ascends to the right hand of the Father. His resurrection and ascension are essentially one act. It's Jesus is rising to new life, and the Father is raising him. He's coming forward to sit at the right hand of the Father now in absolute glory and power. And it's important for us to see that the second Adam is at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, Mary's son, the man from Nazareth, and he's there in his resurrected and glorified body. One of us has entered into the holy place, into the very presence of God the Father. Friends, that's salvation. When we pass from death to life by the power of Jesus Christ, he who holds within his own hands now the power of life and death, the power to share his indestructible life with anyone who comes to him, no matter what you've done in your life, friends, no matter where you are in life, top of the mountain or bottom of the mountain, if you hear the testimony of the apostles and their witness and their call to repentance, if you turn to Jesus and repent of your sins and say yes to him, enter the waters of baptism and enter his church, friends, you one day, by his grace, mercy, and power, you will sit at the right hand of the Father with the Lord. That is, you will die in Jesus. And what belongs to him, the apostles will tell us, he gives us a share. That's why this is such an amazing season of rejoicing. There's really nothing like it. So the reading, Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed, all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words." Now, just by way of background, this is one of the harvest feasts. This is one of the three pilgrim feasts that the people of Israel were to celebrate every year. And Jewish men from all 12 tribes would come to the city of Jerusalem. They'd bring the first fruits of the harvest, the wheat harvest, and they would offer it to the Lord. This is also a time involved in the time of celebrating the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So it was an important time. So this is who Peter's addressing to all of Israel, all those who were there. He says, "You who are children of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. Let's take a minute just to look at this first paragraph. So Peter's addressing the children of Israel. And he begins by saying, I'm speaking to you about a person, Jesus of Nazareth. You know him, the Nazarene. Many of you saw him. Many of you heard of him. And you know there was something special about him, that God, he was commended to us by God. How do we know that? Because he worked so many mighty deeds and signs and wonders. And many of you saw the signs and wonders or were given direct testimony by friends and family and others who did see him. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He, you know, he delivered people from evil spirits. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the lame. So he forgave sins. So we know that this man from Nazareth, Jesus, God commended to us. He confirmed who he was. He stood behind his word with signs and wonders. He said, God worked these things through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man was delivered up. That means he was given up. What? He was given up to ultimately to the crucifixion. He was given over to Pilate. He was given over to the Romans by the Jews. The Jewish leadership gave him over. So he was delivered up, and God intended it to happen, Peter is saying. This man delivered up by a set plan and foreknowledge of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die but have everlasting life. This was God's set plan. This was not plan B. This was not a great tragedy that was somehow outside of God's plan, but this man from Nazareth who was given up to our enemies, to his enemies, was given up by the decision of God, and he went forth in obedience. And then Peter said, you killed him. Now, who's he speaking to? He's speaking really here to the leaders of the Jews. He begins here first. He says, you killed him using lawless men to crucify him. So the religious leaders and the political leaders connived to crucify Christ, to kill him. He goes on, he said, but God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death. Here's the fundamental testimony of the apostles. God raised him up, this man from Nazareth. God released him from the throes of death because it was impossible for him to be held by it. Death could not hold Jesus down. Death held every other son and daughter of Adam down. But in Christ was what St. John would say in his first letter, what we have seen, what we've touched, what we have heard, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. Friends, this is their claim. This is the proclamation of the apostles. Why couldn't Jesus be held down by death? Because in Jesus was the divine life. Heaven and earth were united in the person of Jesus. And eternal life, God's life, the divine life was in the person and the Son, Jesus Christ. And death could not hold him down. Jesus swallowed up death in victory. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public show of them. He destroyed death's power, and he took away the sting of death by taking human flesh through death into eternal life in his own person. Death no longer has the claim over the human race that it once had for those who die in Jesus Christ. Those who die in the old man, in Adam, who are out the life of Christ and the blood of Christ, death still has its sting. And eternal death is its consequence. But if we're born again by water and the Spirit, by baptism and the Spirit given in baptism, this indestructible life that was in Jesus that was literally impossible, death could not hold it down. That's the life Jesus shares with us. And that's why Christianity, this life of grace, this great gift and mercy of God that's being offered to us, is the greatest gift anyone could ever have. Christianity is not just another religion. It's not a high-level philosophy. It's not a myth. It is literally about eternal life. It's about a person, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, friends, is God's very life. And he's the one, and we'll hear this throughout the week, the apostles will testify, he's the one that God has appointed to be judge of the living and the dead. He's the one who God has given the authority to share this indestructible life with whomever he chooses. And he desires to give it to everyone, to every person who opens his or her heart to him. Then, of course, Peter goes on to talk about Psalm 16, quoting David, King David, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, My heart has been glad and my tongue is exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And so this is David declaring what God has shown him, that he would be preserved from death. But we know that David died, and that this promise that David received prophetically from the Lord, this vision that he saw, was the promise being given to his descendant, the Messiah, who would come from the line of David. So Peter goes on, "My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day." You can still go to Jerusalem and see it. "But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was to be abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. But God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. And he is exalted at the right hand of God. From there he poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, as you both see and hear." Here you see the connection. First, of Jesus coming is the promised Messiah that was to come from the line of David. Peter said that promise that David saw, that he prophetically received, was a promise that would be fulfilled not in his life, but from his great descendant, the Messiah. Then Peter says this very plainly. Here it is, friends. God raised this Jesus. This is the testimony, friends, that the apostles died for. Maybe later this week or the beginning of next week, I'll go through some of the arguments against the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But this week, I mainly want to, or at least the beginning of it, I want us to hear the words and the testimony of the apostles and their great conviction and what was the core of the message that they proclaimed. God raised this Jesus. That's what evangelization is, friends. He's evangelizing. He's bringing the good news, the evangelium. The good news is that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen from the dead, that the Father has raised him. And because of that, humanity has a future. And Peter said, "Of this we are all witnesses." The apostles were the first witnesses, those who were sent. They were martyrs. A martyr means witness. And they shed their blood for what they saw with their own eyes, and they touched with their own hands. Not only was he raised from the dead, but here, as I mentioned earlier, is the connection between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. That the Father's plan was to bring the Son home and have him fulfill the great Psalm 110 that said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies a stool for your feet." Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, subduing all the enemies of God, all those who oppose the kingdom of God, that is the kingdom of darkness, and all those who say yes to the kingdom of darkness make themselves enemies of God. So the church goes forward 24/7 with great passion and urgency, proclaiming and carrying forth this good news, which is the best news any human being could ever receive. God is offering to you, friend, in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the power of an indestructible life, life after death, to become a member of the family of God, the new creation. That's what he has for you. Let's receive it, friends, and share it with others. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.